Tonight, we're going to be sharing, I would say, one of the most important truths of living a victorious walk, of having a victorious walk. This morning, there were several people who came down to say, I know that I'm a Christian. My salvation is not in doubt. But I've been having that up and down walk. I don't like it. I don't want it. I've had besetting sins that I've not been able to get on top of. If sincerity had anything to do with it, it had been handled long ago. And when I look at my life, I don't see the fruits of a Christian coming out like they ought to. Now, what's wrong with me? This is the question. What's wrong? There are a number of areas that we have problems in. There's the world around us that pushes us and encourages us and tends to move us toward evil. Right? That's the world. And then there is the evil one, Satan and the demonic forces. They're very real. And this is another problem that the Christian who's moving ahead and wanting to go all the way and live a victorious life and please the Lord, the enemy is right there, ready to stand against him. But we're seeing that the world is not our major problem, and we're seeing that Satan and the demons are not our major problem. But there's another problem, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. I remember as a young boy growing up in a very strong Christian church, Bible-believing church, Bible-preaching church in Amarillo, Texas. Carl Bates was the pastor, and I remember as a boy just being excited about everything that he preached as a young boy. And every year, as Brother Cecil mentioned this morning, we would have our revivals. And how many of you remember Angel Martinez? Anybody know Angel Martinez? A number of you. He was an evangelist, a man of God. And I remember I was always excited when he would come to town because he presented the Word and the Holy Spirit convicted hearts of sin, and there were many people that were won to the Lord. But I would find each time that he came, I would find myself down at the altar saying, Oh God, I've blown it this year. Forgive me, help me, cleanse me, give me another chance, give me another try. And then it would be my birthday, August the 26th, and I would say about that time, well, I've blown it again, Lord, but I've got a new year, a new calendar to start again, so Lord, you help me now. You be my strength. I'm going to live for you. And in a couple of days, flat on my face again. New Year's, same thing. Same problem, same defeat. When I got to college, I remember there weren't too many places to go to get off by yourself. And the only place I could find was the cemetery. And I'd put my running shorts on, and I'd run to the cemetery, and usually it was quiet there. And I would pour out my heart to the Lord, and I'd say, Now, Lord, you know I mean business for you. But I just don't, I've got problems. What's wrong with me? Let's look at Romans 7. Because here is where the Word began to come alive to me. And I saw that I wasn't the only one by myself. I was born again. I did love the Lord. I was sincere. Romans 7, starting with verse 15. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, But I am doing the very thing I hate. I don't want to do the things I'm doing, but I end up doing the very things I hate. But if I do the very things I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. Now, I see that the standard I have, the law I have, is a good one. But I cannot attain it. I cannot keep it. Verse 17, a key verse. So now, no longer am I the one doing it, doing what's wrong, but sin which indwells me. Sin indwelling me. Verse 18, for I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I wish, I do not do. But I practice the very evil that I do not wish. But if I am doing the very thing I do not wish, verse 20, I am no longer the one doing it. But here it is again, but sin which dwells in me. In me, the one wanting to do good. There it's twice. Verse 17, verse 20, and then it goes to explain it in verse 21. Begins to summarize and says, I find then the principle. There is a law, there is a principle, and this is it. That evil is present in me. In me, the one who wishes to do good. Verse 23, I see a different principle, a different law, a different force in the members of my body. And they are waging war against the law of my mind. I know in my mind what I ought to think, what I ought to do. I desire to do that. But there seems to be a war going on inside me. And it is making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, have you ever cried this to the Lord? Oh, wretched man that I am. Who will set me free from this body of death? Who will do it? Verse 25, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. He will set me free. Look at chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law, from the principle, from the force of sin and death. The law, the force, the person of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free. That is something that is already done. It is not something to be accomplished in the Christian's life. It is something that is already done. Set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's take a look. It seems that in every person, there is a force, a principle, a law that moves us toward doing wrong. In little children, for instance, we don't have to teach our child to be selfish. I want the biggest. I want the best. I want to be there the first. I want the most. We don't sit down and train our children to be selfish. It comes naturally, doesn't it? Would you agree? It does. Now, this principle or this force in the individual is called several different things. And this is, we'll call it the flesh. We'll call it the I. Oh, number one, the I. We'll call it the ego. We'll call it the old self nature. We'll call it the sin nature. But the word that I would like to use that describes its function is this. The sin factory. A sin factory. Now tell me, what does a factory do? Produces. That's right. A factory produces something. if it's working and if it's functioning and if it's operational. Now, a sin factory produces sins. That's right. And what I found coming out of my life were the very things that I hated and despised and didn't want. There was lust, moral impurity coming out of that old nature. There was resentment and bitterness and hatreds coming out of it. There was anger. Can you see that all right? There was anger coming out. There was self-pity. And we find a whole list of these over in Galatians 5, starting with verse 16, 17, right along in there. We find depression coming out. All of these things coming out of this old sin nature. We find impatience coming out of this sin nature. Now, if we're not careful, we'll spend all of our time confessing sins. Lust, resentment, anger, self-pity, depression, impatience. All of these things. These are sins. But now, doesn't it make good sense if we can stop the flow and the production of these sins and stop it at here, that's what we ought to do. Because you see, there is a sign that can be placed on this factory. Closed. How about that? Closed. Now, I used to get a little bit confused. Turn with me to Romans 6 for a moment. Here was this old nature, just producing and producing and producing. Now, I also saw in me, though, there was something else producing. For you see, man's spirit, the psalmist says, is the candle of the Lord. Man is made in the image of God, and his spirit is just waiting there to be lit by God's spirit. And when a person comes face to face with the Lord Jesus and he says, Lord, I want to turn from this old life. I cannot save myself. I'm asking you to come in and take control of my life. Forgive me of my sins. I'm turning and I'm repenting from my sins. The Holy Spirit of God comes in to man's life. Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes and actually, literally, dwells in man. Now you see the problem. Here is something in man that's moving us toward good, moving us toward God. Now we see that this person also begins to have things coming out of his life. Let's call this the God's factory. Now that's a fruit factory. The Holy Spirit comes in to produce fruit. What kind of fruit? God's fruit, the character of God Himself. There's this old nature in us that wants to produce the likeness of Satan. Would you agree? And when the Holy Spirit comes in, He wants to produce the likeness of Jesus. Now, who does the producing? The Spirit of God. It is the Spirit of God. We can either cooperate or not cooperate. Now, where God wants to produce, the Holy Spirit wants to produce in us love. We find this in Galatians 5, the latter part of that chapter. Love rather than hate. We find joy rather than depression. We find patience rather than impatience being produced. We find holiness rather than lust and moral impurity. Over here, we find gluttony. I knew you were afraid I wasn't going to mention that, so I throw that in. Not being able to control oneself, whether it's food, whether it's drink, whether regardless of what it is. What is being produced in your life? Is it the lust, resentment, gluttony? Do you know that the Holy Spirit will produce self, what? Control. Now, what is being produced in your life? You know, I can say, I'm a duck. I'm a duck. Well, you sound a little bit like a chicken. But I'm a duck. Well, let's go for a swim. I don't like water. You're a duck, you don't like water? That's right. Well, now, somewhere along the line, I have fooled myself because I have a chicken nature and not a duck nature. Now, here we are. We need, and the Bible tells us very carefully, to test yourself to see if you are in the flesh. Examine yourself. That's what we're to do. So let's take a look. What is actually coming out of the life? Romans 6, verse 4. Let's look at it. Therefore, we have been buried with Him, with Christ, through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. We are to have life. And we have already been buried with Him through baptism into death. For if we, verse 5, become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Now listen to this. Knowing this, verse 6, key verse, that our old self was crucified with Him. This old nature, this sin factory, has already been crucified. Has been, is in the past tense. It's not something that's going to happen today. It's not something that's going to happen tomorrow. It's not something that I am going to do. It is something that has already been done. Why has it already been done? Verse 6, that our body of sin might be done away with. So that we no longer will be slaves to sin. Now, many have been saying, I have a besetting sin. Something's wrong with me. I know I have Christ in my life. There is some joy. There is some love. There is a little bit of control. But all of these things are coming out too. Now, what's wrong with me? Look at it. This old nature has already been crucified with Him. Crucified with Christ. Now, when was Christ crucified? 2,000 years ago. And you know what this is saying? He was crucified that this old nature might be done away with. Now, I looked at that, and I looked at my life, and I said, there's something wrong. I don't understand. Because there's still something in me pulling me toward the evil one. Now, either this scripture is wrong, or I'm lost, or there must be another explanation. As I begin to read a book by Watchman Nee that sort of outlines what the Greek means, this is exactly what it means. In the King James, it says destroyed, doesn't it? The old nature is destroyed. Here it says done away with. If you would, write this in your margin. Made inoperative. The old nature, this old part of me that wants to sin, has been made inoperative, made without effect. It does not have to affect me. Made powerless. It doesn't say it has no power. It says it has been made powerless. It does not have to rule me. Why? That we should no longer be slaves to hate. That we should no longer be slaves to lust. That we should no longer be slaves to jealousy. It has been made without effect, powerless. If you would, picture Jesus on the cross right now. Picture Him on the cross. It says, the Word of God says, that our old nature was there with Him. How many times have you and I said, Lord, I want to thank You for the sins that washed away at Calvary. You've taken my sins. Well, that's not all that was there. That old stinking sin nature, that thing which continues to produce those sins, were there as well. On Jesus, I was in Him. You, as a Christian, were in Him. Picture yourself as a part of Him. That little finger, that's the way I... There I am. I'm a little finger. Here's Jesus on Calvary. Whatever happened to Jesus happened to me. Jesus died, I died. Jesus was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead. Jesus had life in you. I had life in you because I was with Him. Whatever happens to the body happens to that little finger. There I was. We say, I don't understand it. I don't either. But in a very mystical way, I was co-crucified with Jesus. Therefore, whatever happened to Him happened to me. Jesus, raised from the dead, is reigning with Christ, with God the Father, now at the right hand of the Father. Where am I? That's right. I'm in exactly the same place with Him right now. It's something that has already been done. Look at verse 7. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, are we freed from sin? Are you free from the power of sin? We can be. We can be. This is what God wants. Someone asked me this last pastor's conference, does that mean that you'll no longer sin? Does that mean that this old nature is completely gone and you'll never sin again? No. Here's what it means. God has not taken away your ability to sin. You still have the ability to sin, but He has given you the ability not to sin. He has given you the ability not to sin. He has not taken away the ability to sin, but He has given the ability through the power of the Holy Spirit not to sin. It is a matter of choice. Verse 8. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Now, verse 11. This is a tremendous truth right here. We've said, verse 6, we must know that that old nature was crucified with Christ so that the body of sin might be rendered powerless and ineffective. Verse 11 says this, now, reckon yourselves to be dead to that sin nature. Reckon, consider it a fact. Now, if you've known this truth and you've been sinning, something's wrong. How many have heard this truth before and you understand it. There's a number of you. Now, we have to ask ourselves the question, how are we doing? How are we doing? There was a pastor and wife that was here last year. They came back this year. And I was sharing this truth. I'd shared it last year. I was sharing it again. And she was, you know, sort of talking over here and talking over there. And I realized that she really had a handle on this and she understood it. And the Lord just prompted me, and I think for her, to say, if you know this truth and you're still sinning, then you've not appropriated the truth in your life. Now, I didn't point her out and say that, of course. But I think the Holy Spirit wanted me to say that. If we are still living an up and down life, if there is still a besetting sin, we may know, but there's not the application. Now, verse 11 is the application of this truth. Even so, reckon or consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Now, what does that mean? The word reckon or consider, you'll have to stay with me now. You listen. This isn't easy to get. God will give it to you. The word reckon or consider is an accounting term. And an accounting term means that an accountant deals with facts. 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8. I don't have to understand it. I just know that it's so. It's a fact. Now, here are some facts. And here's the fact. 1. I was with Jesus Christ on Calvary 2,000 years ago. I believe it. May not understand it, but I believe it. My old nature was rendered powerless and inoperative right now. I believe it. I reckon it so. It does not have to rule me. Now, we appropriate this fact, this truth, by faith. And that's what the word reckoning or considering it so means. It is something that we believe, though we might not understand it. How is a person saved? By faith. How is a person healed? Faith. How is a person filled with the Spirit of God? How does a person reckon the old nature dead? By faith. Not because we understand it and can fully apprehend it, but because God said it, I believe it. Now, verse 12 is a key verse here. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lusts. Now, what's that saying is this. If I am sinning, it's because I'm choosing to sin. If you and I are living in sin, it's because we're choosing to sin. It says, therefore, don't let sin reign. You have a choice. And so as a part of our diagram here, let's put a throne room. And this is our will. I feel something there. I feel like sinning today. God says if we consider the old nature powerless and ineffective, we can choose against it and we can choose to let the Holy Spirit of God live His life in and through us. It is a matter of choice. It is a matter of who we are going to allow to live the life through us. We have a choice. We can reckon, consider the old nature dead, and we can reckon, and here's another truth, the Holy Spirit of God alive in us. There was a time, a number of years ago, when the filling of the Spirit was new to us, and we were excited knowing that the Holy Spirit wanted to come and fill our lives, and He would give us that victorious life that we were looking for. And so we confessed our sins. All of the sins that we knew, we got cleansed, we dedicated ourselves, and we asked the Holy Spirit to come in and to control us. And we went on for several weeks, and then before we knew it, what happened? Back on our backs again, And it was pretty hard to admit this. We didn't want to admit that. Because after all, this was the answer. He was the answer. The filling of the Holy Spirit. And it was very difficult to admit. And many people got very discouraged. And many people tried to live a lie. Well, I am victorious. I am victorious. And inside, wilting. And the Lord showed us that we had only one half of the truth. Not only are we to believe ourselves alive in Christ through the filling of the Holy Spirit, but we have to, by faith, reckon the old nature dead and powerless. Then be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. How do we make this practical? In the mornings, and maybe several times during the day, I endeavor to make it a practice. I get up, I say, Lord, I love you and I praise you, and I'll have a time of worship. And then, Lord, I want to thank you that that old nature was in you on Calvary 2,000 years ago. That old nature that doesn't want to get out of bed. That old nature that's lazy. Lord, that old nature that wants to lust. Lord, that old nature that wants to mumble and grumble and put somebody down. See, all those things come right out of the old nature. I want to thank you that it's powerless and does not have to rule me, not because I'm strong enough to keep it down, but because you have already crucified it. You have made it powerless. I don't have to make it powerless. You have already made it powerless. I just need to say right now, thank you that it's done. I appropriate by faith that it is powerless and does not have to rule me. Thank you, Lord. I reckon it dead. And Lord, I want to thank you right now that your life is in me and I reckon you alive in me, full of power now. Right now, I thank you. Now that's by faith. You know what? I may not feel a bit different. In fact, most of the time, I won't feel any different. You know the problem with us? We go on our feelings, don't we? And isn't it fantastic that you and I can choose who we're going to let to rule us? We can choose. Look at verse 13. Here's what we can do every morning. The last part of that verse first. It says, present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. And your members as instruments of righteousness to God. It says that we are to present our arms, our eyes, our legs, our tongues, our ears, all that we are to God as instruments of righteousness, love, joy, patience. He will be this in and through us. We just vacate. We get self off of the throne. We keep it at the point of death. I reckon it dead. I reckon you powerless. And I present my life to you now, Holy Spirit of God, to live your life in and through me. But verse 13, the first part of that verse, is normally what we do. We go on presenting the members of our body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. But it is a choice who we present our life to. I recall, I'll give you a couple of illustrations of this. Several years ago now, we went to, Shirley and I had the opportunity of going to Switzerland, where the pastor is this week. And it's been a long time since I'd seen any snow. I've been away from Texas for a long time, and I was really excited about seeing some snow and getting in those mountains. And I want you to know, Now, Peter's out there doing that right now. I hope he is. There is an instrument. It's like a bicycle. And it's called a ski bob. And you get on one of these ski bobs, and you have little skis on your feet and skis on this bicycle-like thing, and you can go up and down those mountains 100 miles an hour. Well, not quite that fast, but that must be a fleshly statement, hyperbole, right? But you can just have a great, great time. Well, we went over there and we were having a great time on those ski bobs. in the afternoons. Well, you've just got to be honest. The girls, my wife and the other wives, slow you down just a touch. Right? They tend to slow you down. Particularly when you have to stop when they fall and stop. So all of the guys were going to get together on the last day. It was already planned. We were going to get together on the last day, and we were going to have a fantastic blast going up and down those hills. And Shirley, several days before, said, "Honey, you know, time's running out, and oh, it's been so wonderful, hasn't it?" "Yes, it has." "You know, on the last day before we have to board the plane, there's something I'd really like for us to do. I'd like for us to go shopping." You're with me, aren't you? And there was a part of me that says, "Shopping? Shopping, what do you mean?" And I said, "Honey, I want you to go shopping. I think that's a fantastic idea. You go shopping, I'm going to the slopes." Well, it just so happens that we were studying in that conference over there, Dead to Self. Wasn't that awful? Jack Taylor was over there preaching that. And I really had a conflict with him. And so Eldon Rayleigh and I were on a ski lift. And we were going up in this ski lift. And it looked like it may have to be the last day that I was going to get to go. And I was pouring out my heart, seeing if I couldn't get a little sympathy. And I said, "You know, Eldon, here's the problem. What do you think?" And the prophet came out in him. And he said, "Well, Danny, it looks to me like this is a good place and a good time for you to die." Now, folks, I didn't need that. But, folks, I did need that. Because, you see, up to that point, that conference was just merely theory. Just theory. Yes, reckon the old nature dead. Well, how do you reckon it dead? Right here was a time where I said, "Lord, self, pleasure, me wants to go to the slopes. And I have a right to go to the slopes. I'll never get to go to the slopes again in my whole life. That'll be it." Reckon the old nature dead. Except a man deny himself, take up God's way daily and follow Him. And I began to say, "Well, now, maybe God wants me up there on those slopes. Surely, you know. Yeah, maybe that." Now, if God had said, "Daniels, I want you up on the slopes," I had better go, right? But you know who wanted to go on the slopes? That's right. Just me. And I'll just be honest with you. It was a struggle, and most of this was inside. And I reckoned the old man dead. And we, Shirley and I, we had a marvelous time going to those 729 shops that day. It was really the highlight of what we did. Because it was a time for us together to do something. Another story. That's real. This one is too. I remember when I was first filled with the Spirit of God and I was excited. Oh, my. And I would teach it. I would preach it. I would tell people. But when I'd get home, I don't know. It was just so hard to live out there. Have you ever found that a problem? Man, I'm a holy guy up here at the church. It's just when I get home. And finally, the Lord got a hold of me and He says, "You know, you can know all this. And you can appropriate the filling of the Spirit. But until daily, day by day, you begin to reckon yourself dead. And those desires that come out of the heart, it's not going to amount to a hill of beans." I said, "Well, Lord, what's one of the problems we're having around the house?" He says, "It's your clothes. Look, you are a messy guy. You hit the front door and the shoe goes off here and your pants go off there, and you know it's just, and you spend more time battling with Shirley over that than most anything else. And I reckoned, and I saw that I was being selfish. I wasn't thinking about her. I was thinking about, well, I ought to be able to relax when I go home, right? No. Not that way. Not when it places a burden on your wife. And so, I began to hang my clothes up. And it wasn't until then did my wife say, and begin to realize, you know, I think something's happened in Danny. Wasn't what I was preaching, not what I was teaching, not all those goody-goody things I was doing. I was hanging my clothes up. Self. Stinking self-nature. Reckoning the old man dead. Verse 16. Do you not know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey? We present ourselves either to God or to the self, and we're going to be a slave to one or the other. All we have to do is to determine who we're going to be a slave to. We're not going to be free. We're going to be a slave to God and what He can produce in the life, love, joy, peace. Everybody's going around peace, 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 peace. God's the only one that can produce peace. Or we are going to present ourselves to the flesh, to what we think is right, and the result is enslavement. Verse 18, you have been freed from sin. Go on, become slaves of righteousness. Verse 19, I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, the result of that is further lawlessness. So now present the members of your body as slaves to righteousness. Now what is the result of that? Look at it. What's the result of me presenting my body to God? Resulting in sanctification, holiness, becoming like God. Do you realize that you and I have the capacity to actually literally become God-like? And when I walk down the street, and when you walk down the street, they ought to see Jesus. Jesus ought to be coming out of me. Jesus ought to be coming out of you. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, control. It's who we give ourself to. Now, if we say, I am going to live for God, if we're not careful, you know what it becomes? It becomes self. Effort. And it's still self doing it. You see that? It can become, man, if I just do all of these disciplines, then I'm going to be holy. No, it's God's life in and through you. That's what Ian said. Because that's what the Bible says. God's life in and through you. And when we begin to do it, it becomes pride and self-righteousness. Self will continue to produce until we keep it at the point of death. Self-righteousness, pride, self-effort, self-condemnation, self, it all comes. Now what we need to do is to put closed on that factory. Put closed on that factory. We need to have a funeral. You need to have a funeral. Today is February the 6th, 1977. And some of you have never had a funeral. And this can be the day where you tack it down. Lord, I'm beginning to see that this old nature of me that produces sins does not have to rule me any longer. By faith, I am going to reckon it powerless. And by faith, I'm going to reckon your life in me. I'm going to reckon your life in me to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Find you a place. Find you a place where you and God alone can meet. And let that be your altar. It may be by your bed tonight. And write it down.
Now, of course, this is foolishness to someone who's not going all the way, but someone who has Christ in their life and wants to get victory and wants to please God and wants God's life to be expressed through them, then find you a place to get alone tonight or soon. Confess the sins. Confess the sin and this old stinking nature, and then reckon it dead. Lay it all on the altar. And then make sure it doesn't come back up again. Except a man deny himself daily. It's a daily walk, isn't it? Except a man deny himself daily and follow me, he cannot be a disciple of mine. It is a daily walk. Are we going to walk with the Lord? Now, two things in closing. Romans 8. Verse 5, for those who are walking according to the flesh, they've let their minds dwell on the things of the flesh. They have set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are walking according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. You and I are to begin to set our mind, our hearts, totally on Christ. And as we do, we'll begin to walk properly. The battleground is in the mind, isn't it? We are to set our minds and our hearts on Christ, Him living His life through me. I'm going to vacate the throne of my life, and I'm going to enthrone Him. I'm not going to run my life. I'm not even going to do good for Jesus. I'm going to get out of the way so that He can come in and produce whatever He wants to produce in my life. Lord, I give You all that I am. Somebody asked Ian Thomas a couple of days ago, said, what if somebody said to you, would you be willing to go to Africa? He says, what a stupid question that is. You know, that is a plumb foolish question. Well, why is that foolish? He said, I've already given this body to God. It's His. Now, if He wants to incarnate Himself in Africa or Kalamazoo or Titusville or Atlanta, that's up to Him. I'm His. Remember, He said, if He wants me to preach or teach or spit, I'm His. He just comes in, He just begins to live His life through me, and I keep that old nature at the point of death, daily, momentarily, only as I set my mind on the things of God, set my mind, set my heart on Christ. And that's what we need to do. Lay the all on the altar, give every speck, and then look at these truths, ask the Lord to reveal them to us, and then begin to reckon the old nature dead, powerless, ineffective, does not have to rule me, and give our hearts, our minds, totally to the Lord. You might look at it like this. Now, this analogy might break down, but you'll get the principle. Imagine two dogs in the life. The one that you feed is the one that will grow. The one that you starve is the one that will get weak. Set your minds on the things of the Spirit. Starve the flesh. Give Him absolutely no thought at all. Keeping at the point of starvation. Long time ago, there was a ship. A naval ship, it left the port, and the old captain we found became unbearable. He was mean. He was a hard taskmaster. And the crew rebelled, and they chose another captain. They placed the old captain in chains. They bound him. They made him powerless. They put him down in the hold of the ship. But the old captain would still holler. He'd still issue commands. And, you know, some of the crew members would respond to him. But they didn't have to. They didn't have to. But when the ship finally gets to port, they'll be rid of him once and for all. Isn't that good? Now, folks, he's still there. He's powerless. He's in chains. But we have to keep him there. We have to keep him at the point of death. And if we begin to listen to him, before we know it, he has broken the chains and he begins to strangle us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer now. Oh, Father, we want to thank you and we want to praise you that you have not left us, commanding us to be something that we cannot be. Lord, you say that you want to live your life in and through us, and that out of our life should flow love and peace and joy and patience and kindness and gentleness. And yet, oftentimes, Lord, we're still seeing the lust, we're still seeing the impatience and the anger and the resentment and the laziness, all of these self-sins. Oh, Lord, thank you for showing us through your word that we don't have to be a slave. We don't have to be a slave to that old nature. That because of what you have already done on Calvary 2,000 years ago, we were with you, co-crucified with you. And that old nature has been pierced with the nails of Calvary. Lost its power. Thank you. And Lord, we can reckon it powerless and then reckon, consider as fact your life in and through us to meet the demands of the day. Lord, I'm asking that this night you will allow that truth to become reality in those servants of yours that are hungry, for those servants of yours that have been in despondency and discouraged. Lord, it's not something we do. It's something that you've already done. We just accept it and say thank you. Thank you. You've done it. It's not something we attain to. You've already done it. Thank you. Lord, let this truth penetrate our hearts and our minds. And then, Lord, show us any way that we've not set our minds on you. Any way that we have not set our minds totally and completely upon you. Now, with heads still bowed, I'm going to ask Digit to play. Wherever he leads, I'll go. Wherever he leads, I'll go. And the words go like this: take up thy cross and follow me. I heard my master say, I gave my life to ransom thee. Surrender that old nature, those sins, and our will today. Lord, wherever you lead, I'll go. Wherever you lead, I'll go. I'll follow my Christ, who loves me so. Wherever you lead, I'll go.